How's it going? Happy 4th of July week. Glad you're here. We are in a series called Fit for Battle. We're looking at the armor of God. And today we come to the piece of armor in our arsenal called the shield of faith. When you think about shield, what kind of first comes to your mind? You know, if you were sitting in one of those interviews, you did a word association and you came to the word shield, what do you think you would see? And I mean, you think about the archaic nature of Paul writing this from the perspective of when soldiers really did wear that kind of armor and had those kind of shields and those kind of swords and things like that. What do you think of now when you think of shields? Some of you may think, you know, can just continue metaphorically to where it's like, well, I think of my insurance policy as a shield. I think whether it's my cars or whether it's my boats or whether it's my family, I have insurance there in place. That's the shield. That's the protection that I have. I don't know why when I thought about this, when I did this little exercise myself, the notion of a heat shield came to my mind. I don't really know why. I've used heat shields in different capacities during my life, and I know they're very, very important for very different reasons. You think about the Apollo astronauts, and I remember the one early on in the space program when they weren't really sure as the capsule was coming back into the atmosphere if the heat shield was going to hold, and it was very important that the heat shield held. I think it was strapped onto the bottom of this thing, and they didn't know if it was going to hold, and it's like, okay, the guy's not going to live if the heat shield comes off. So heat shields are very important. Whatever you think about when you think of shields, normally you think of that aspect of protection, and the Apostle Paul obviously wants to bring that into our example today. As we're thinking about the spiritual battle that we're fighting in and the nature of that battle, Paul says we are equipped with a shield of faith. So if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look again at this text as we have been since our VBS days. I mean, VBS may seem like, wow, that's been a while. It hadn't been that long ago, but for some of you that worked so hard, I don't even know, well, yeah, it seems like it was so fast and it was over and it was very powerful. And you can see some of the pictures from it and everything. Our kids obviously had a wonderful time, and I hope that you've been able to have some conversations with your children or your grandchildren around the theme of spiritual warfare and the weapons and protection of our armor in the spirit. Spiritual battle. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 that after everything that I've said here in this letter, let me give you a final word. Let me tell you that everything that I've talked about, everything that I've informed you about in chapters 1 through 3 on the mess that we were in because of sin and how God has rescued from that, redeemed us from that. I've also spent time in chapters 4 and 5 showing you how to live, how to walk in a manner that is worthy of what God has done and given you, the state of grace that you're in, the position that you're in. Ephesians is all about our identity in Christ. If you're struggling with your identity here, Paul says the fixed thing you need to know is that because of grace by faith in Jesus, you have a new identity. He has made you, you know, a new person. He's also given you a new purpose for life. He's given you a new location from which to live. That location is not just here walking upon earth in the midst of the circumstances that we encounter, but you are fixed in your location in Christ. You are settled there by grace. Faith has brought you safe thus far, and faith will lead you home. And so we're going to talk about that today in the context of what it means for us to hold up the shield of faith. In verse 10, he says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." That's the nature of the conflict. And since that is so, since we can't really go anywhere where that conflict isn't happening, we have to do something. We put on, he says, put on, in light of that struggle, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, he says, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, he says, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. It's interesting, as we said last time, Paul could have said simply, in light of everything that I've shared with you, put on truth. But he doesn't. He says, belt yourself with it. Everything that hangs from, you know, your armor hangs on this belt of truth. It all is held together. We're held together. Everything. We're held together, and everything that we hold on to for this battle is held by this belt of truth. Paul could have said, put on righteousness. But he said, put on the body armor or the breastplate of righteousness. Put on your bulletproof vest, if you will. Put it over your heart. Paul says, let the righteousness of God's definition of right from wrong, good from evil, being able to discern truth from lies, cover your heart with that. Make sure that your passions don't rule your lives. Make sure that Satan can't get in there and tempt you with passions that overrule what you know is reason. You're thinking based on what God has revealed in truth. Paul could have said, put on peace. But he says, put on shoes of peace. In other words, we stand in peace. That's there because of the gospel, he says, that we looked at it last week. We move in peace. We stand in peace. It is the peace that's given to us, the reconciliation that Christ has earned for us, that we couldn't earn for ourselves towards a right relationship with God. And that ought to be, again, good news for some of you here, because some of you maybe have spent all your life trying to, you know, whether you say you're religious or not, trying to earn God's favor by the way you live, and just hopes that if you're going to stand before a God someday, if there really is a creator God who made you, that you're going to stand before him one day and he's going to grade you on the curve. And you've just kind of been looking at your life throughout the course of the decades that you've been alive, and you're like, you know what? I'm not as good as that guy, but I'm not as bad as him. And so somewhere in there, God is going to see that, you know, I've been kind of, you know, I'm a C student, okay? No, Paul says we need to understand that it is only the gospel that provides a peaceful resolution to our problem. We stand in it, and we move with it. We work for it in this world. And then he could have said, put on faith, or hold up faith. He could have said, hold up faith, but he does, and he says, hold up the shield. Hold up the shield of faith. So let's look at that verse and see what we can discern from what Paul is saying here, okay? So Paul says, in addition to all of these other things that we're going to put on, he says, hold up. That's unique. Interesting. He says, hold up. It's our responsibility to exercise that. Hold up the shield of faith. And then notice what he says here. The shield of faith is there to stop the fiery arrows. Notice that. Not just the arrows, but the fiery arrows, which say what? These weapons are, or these arrows are on fire. All right, yeah. They're like this ancient Molotov cocktail. Remember those things? I never tried that. I was too scared to put a gasoline in a Coke bottle, stick a rag down in it, and throw it. Nah, I'm a redneck, but I ain't that dumb. You know the redneck's famous last words, don't you? Hey, y'all, watch this. Not gonna do that. But again, I'm not even sure I could. In those days, I would have been brave enough to lit an arrow on fire. Okay, but they served a purpose. That the devil, he says, launches not just arrows but fiery arrows, and that's going to be important as we come to this in the text. All right. So again, let's wrap our minds around, when Paul says a shield, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the scutum fidei, or the shield of faith. The scutum is a rectangular shield that the Roman soldiers would have used. It would have looked like this. Here's four of them in this graphic, and these four shields. There we go. There are three, not four, excuse me. These three shields kind of give you a picture of what it looks like. That's about 2.5 feet across by 4 feet tall, and you've got this kind of a a thing there in the center that's not just ornamental. That's a kind of a knob right there in the center of the shield that would have been for, you know, knocking somebody down or pushing forward. It would have enabled you to have a little bit of reinforcement and a little bit of extra pushing power as you're moving forward. So you've got this thing that looks rectangular. The Greek word, if you were to translate this out of the Greek text, the way our Bibles are written, Paul uses the word thoreos, which is from the word thoros, which is the root word for door. And that's kind of what it means. It's big. It's kind of big as a door, 4 feet, 4 feet tall, 2.5 feet wide, and then about 3/4 of an inch thick. These things would have weighed about 22 pounds, and this is what the Roman soldier would have been equipped with. Paul says there in verse 6 to hold it up. That's unique. Everywhere else he says put it on, dress in it. Remember? Be dressed in these things. And I shared with you, if you weren't here last week, you know, the connotation's almost like that kid who has a baseball game the next morning and he's wearing his outfit to bed because he wants to be ready by the time he gets up in the morning to put his feet on the ground and be ready to play ball, okay? Paul is saying, put on this. This is not something that you selectively wear on Wednesdays. You know, this is what you pull out of your closet on Sundays. No, Paul says, wear this. This is something that you and I are to wear. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, to put on your new nature. What does your new nature look like? It looks like the body armor of God's righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the shoes of peace, the peace that comes from the gospel. To wear that, Paul says, is to put on your new nature. It is not a new nature that just, you know, again, is unprepared. It is a nature that is prepared to live in this world that is always under the onslaught of spiritual conflict. Why is there spiritual conflict? Because God is glorious in his nature, and we have an enemy. God has an enemy that wants that glory. He does not want God to have all that glory. He tempts us with the bait of a lie that says that God doesn't deserve that glory, so you shouldn't want him to have it either, all the while trying to destroy you in the process. Why? Because you are in play. That as part of God's creation, God created them male and female. And his work of redemption, of bringing you into relationship with him through what he has done for you, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, brings him glory. And anything that brings him glory is in the opposition of what the enemy, this adversary we call the devil or Satan, is against. That's why you and I are caught up in this conflict, in this war. Paul says we're to put on that armor, we're to hold up this shield. How do we hold up the shield of faith? That's an important question, isn't it? Okay, Dale, hold up the shield of faith. Preacher, how do I hold it up? Well, the first thing you need to understand is it's important that you do. If you're asking the why question before you ask the how question, understand that the why question means that the only way you have access into the victory that Christ has gained for you. Again, positionally, you're secure in him, but you and I still walk in a hostile world. The only way we access the victory of the position, the location in which we stand, is by faith. You didn't just come to Jesus by faith. You did, but you also live with Jesus by faith. And your exercise, your part of that, is taking what God has done for you now and putting it into practice. Paul says it looks like holding up a shield in a spiritual conflict. The way we access the victory of Jesus over the enemy is by faith. According to John in his first epistle, when the Apostle John writes the three letters to the churches we have in the New Testament, he says in the very first epistle that every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Faith is that energizing quality of what we have in our relationship with God that accesses the very victory that Christ achieved on the cross. And through the power of the resurrection, whereby we might live victoriously in this battle. So, how do we lift up this shield? The first thing is we trust the faithfulness of God. You hold up the shield of faith by trusting God, by trusting his character. Because of his character, because he is faithful, we can exercise faith in a faithful God. Psalm chapter 18, verse 30 says, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. I don't know if you were like me, and I would wrestle with this a little bit as I was growing through, you know, my faith being tested from time to time, because there are times in my life, and I'm sure there's times in your life, to where it doesn't look like God has protected you. And if we're honest, we have those moments to where, listen, I don't feel very protected right now. When people lie against you, you don't feel very protected. When you get a disease, you don't feel very protected. When a loved one that you care for and have prayed for doesn't live but dies, when things don't work out the way you feel like you think they should work out, if God was really there, we don't feel protected. And so we move in this journey through faith, believing even during times of confusion and disappointment and sadness and even anger at times. We begin to understand that sometimes God does protect us from life, from the circumstances of life. But there's sometimes that God protects us through life, in life, that even in the midst when things are coming against us and they hurt, right? God is still there. He's not abandoned us, and He is using these things for His purposes, you know, and our benefit. And we think about even in the terms of death. Sometimes, many times, God protects us from death, but also God protects us through death. He protects us in death. That the promises of God are true. That if Jesus says He will never leave you or forsake you, that means that the moment you close your eyes in death and you breathe your last breath, His is the first face you see. That's His promise. You say, how do you know that, Dale? By faith. I hold up that shield. I trust the character of God. And I hold it up in faith. It's a hard thing, those of you here that are parents, and most of you with young kids in particular, you're still trying to get your head around this. How do you take the responsibility for being a parent? And at the same time, you trust God with your kids. Paul says, hold up the shield of faith. Sometimes you exercise that by holding that shield very close to them, and you hold it in front of them, right? It's your responsibility to cover them. More on that in a moment. But what, when they start driving, what do? When they start hanging out with friends that you don't know the friends or their parents sometimes, you know, what do? Now, there's no greater time than when a kid gets a license, his driver's license, and he walks out the door, and you're like, oh, God, you know? And you say that little prayer. You say, Lord, keep him in his right mind. Don't let him be distracted and do something stupid. And please keep him out of the way of stupid. You know, keep him out of the way of harm. And don't let him be out there and present any harm. And it's like, God, I'm trusting you with that. But sometimes they don't come home. I don't say that to your pain. I don't say that to your disappointment. I don't say that to rip any healing, you know, off of old wounds. But I'm just saying, what do you do when the kid doesn't come home? Is God still good? What level of protection does God offer you now? And there are people here, right? There are people even here today who would say, you know, I've dealt with that. I deal with that. Or I have friends and loved ones who are dealing with that. What does it look like to hold up the shield of faith when those fiery arrows come to burn you down? When Satan says, you know what? If God really loved you, this wouldn't have happened. If you'd have been a better person, this wouldn't have happened. And it isn't just there to stick you, it's there on fire to go in a shield, metaphorically, that's made out of wood. What happens when fire hits wood? To burn you down. To access the victory of Christ in those moments, Paul says, hold up the shield of faith.
Psalm 18, verse 30, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. And the more we know God and the more we know who God is, the stronger we're going to be able to stand in spiritual warfare. Psalm 91, 4 through 6. Again, the Apostle Paul would be drawing all of this. This is his prayer book, okay? Paul knew the Psalms. Psalm 91, 4 through 6. He will cover you with his feathers the way a hen covers her chicks. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. What are your armor? His faithful promises are your armor and protection. So do not be afraid of terrors of the night. Do not be afraid of the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Hold up the shield of faith. Trust God. Trust the character of God. He is faithful. He is good. Even death has no power over you. You access the victory of Christ. Jesus said, after he had just told his disciples that he would be crucified, you know, delivered over, handed over, betrayed, you know, he'd be crucified, but on the third day he would rise again. He tells them everything that's about to come when they go into Jerusalem. He's told them a very troubling lot of information. He says in John 14, verse 1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Hold up the shield of faith. And trust also in me. How do I hold up the shield of faith, Dale? You hold up the shield of faith individually. You hold up that door of protection against the arrows that come out at you that would cause you to doubt the character of God. What are those arrows? What are they? What are those fiery arrows that come against us? Well, you can be sure that whatever they are, at the very least, the opposite of faith is doubt. And as that doubt comes to pierce that sword and to set it ablaze and burn you down, God says, hold it up. Hold it up. That is the only shield that can extinguish those flaming arrows that come against you. But there's a second way we hold up the shield of faith, and that is it. We also hold up the shield of faith by being trustworthy to your fellow believer. By being trustworthy to your fellow believer. Individually, it is a confidence in God. Congregationally, as a church, it's by being trustworthy. Trustworthy to your fellow believer. Here's a graphic of these Roman soldiers in what's called the tortoise formation. And so what you've seen this maybe in movies. I didn't even know this was a thing until just, you know, recently with all these epic movies that are coming out in the last, you know, 20 years. But you've got this image of these soldiers on the front line. They're covering the front. And notice now you've got the guys in the middle and on the sides, you know, covering that aspect too. You've got these shields now over everybody's heads. Which means that what? As the arrows are coming down upon you, now you are shielding not just yourself, but the guy in front of you and the guy behind you. And that image is not lost on the Apostle Paul, and it's certainly not lost on us in being equipped for this battle. Be trustworthy to your fellow believer. We hold up the shield of faith for the benefit of ourselves, absolutely, but also for the benefit of others. When that oxygen mask drops as the cabin is beginning to depressurize, that stewardess has told me to be sure to put my mask on first. Because until I put my mask on, I can't help the person next to me, right? But I understand that even though while my mask is there to give me oxygen, I'm also responsible to make sure that the person sitting next to me has theirs on as well. I remember when my son, who's a police officer, he invited us to come to his ceremony to where he, you know, received his badge. You know, his badge is coming. He got to go pin his badge on him. You know, and if you look at a badge of a police officer, what is it? It's the image of a shield. Because it is that first reminder, that essential creed of a law enforcement officer that your first duty is to serve and protect. We hold up the shield of faith, not just for the benefit of ourselves, but the benefit of others. We hold up the shield of faith by being trustworthy to our fellow believer. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. In the context of this passage in Philippians, Paul is saying, what does it look like to be humble? To consider somebody else's benefit as well as yourselves, even better than yourselves. Verse 4, don't look out only for your own interests, but put that shield of faith over others as well. The Bible refers to keeping faith in God as living by faith. Paul's talked about it in Ephesians. We walk by faith. And we are our life of faith is a walk with Christ. It's this walk. It's this relationship. It's this journey that we go on by faith in Jesus. Paul has spent throughout Ephesians teaching us this. The Christian life is faith, not just at the beginning, but all through our lives to the last. Some of us, having become Christians by faith in Christ alone, go forward trying to live the Christian life simply alone. And that's dangerous. Ephesians 6 makes it clear that we not only walk, but we do war, not with each other. No, part of the strategies of the enemy is to get us to turn the conflict on each other. That's why Paul says the battle isn't against flesh and blood. Every one of us sitting here have a common enemy. So we dare not war alone. We dare not war alone unless there's no other choice but to war alone. And in one sense, we never war alone. Christ is always there, but never forget the body of Christ, the local church, is also there and must not be neglected. And some of us, maybe even in here today, have some work to do on that. There may be a few of you here who aren't connected to a local church anywhere. You just kind of hop around. You don't get involved. Don't take responsibility. Don't find your place in serving anyone else. Some of you aren't plugged into a small group of soldiers somewhere where we can serve as well as be served, where we can shield as well as be shielded. You have work to do there. Because anything other than that is not going to work for this battle. And you're not exempt from the battle, not one of you. Sometimes in this battle, I need to hold my shield over another person, and sometimes they need to hold their shield over me. Sometimes my faith is there where someone else is struggling, and sometimes they believe God enough for the both of us. Ever been there? As a pastor, I can tell you no one is immune. There are some times in my life where grief and disappointment, where anger and fear even rob me of my song. Sometimes people walk into service late. They walk into service late because they can't sing. And I don't mean that because they don't have vocal talent. I mean that because the circumstances of their lives have just robbed them of their song. And you need to remember that when you feel like the circumstances of your life has robbed you of your song, you need to get in here for the worship service and let us hold the shield over you. Until you get your song back. Now, there's never an excuse to walk into a worship service and not sing just because you don't want to sing. But there are moments when I need you to believe, when I have lost the strength to believe. Sometimes I need you to hold up the shield of faith to remind me that there's one to be held. We do that for each other. So whether you find yourself in this struggle as one who feels like you're alone and you're holding up that shield for yourself, remember, there's people who come with you in this community. We are dressed for battle together for the conflict that we're in. Hold up the shield of faith.